This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
Raymond, hit my music.
Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go.
You're listening to DPHRO and Rothenberg, DNR, the R&R boys.
Jan Blachowicz. No. Jan Blachowicz.
Not sure that's it, but call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy.
We are
up with you every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. We want to hear from you, especially Knicks fans this morning. Give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. I'm Rick DiPietro.
We are human Mophies.
He's Dave Rothenberg. We got a great show planned for you this morning. The power of Dave Rothenberg on display again last night.
The only thing I can hope is that we get like seven overtimes tonight.
Why do you want to punish yourself?
Because I want to punish you, and I want to punish the Knicks producer, Ray Santiago. That's what I want.
And of course, as usual, Dave is right. Knicks with an emotionally exhausting double overtime win against the Celtics. Aaron Boone, some interesting things to say on the K-Show yesterday. Astros and Braves, both a win away from the World Series. Week 7. Can you believe it? Week 7 kicks off tonight. Denver and Cleveland. Deshaun Watson wants to ruin my life. Looks like he's on his way to Miami. We got some Jets. We got some Giants. Dave, I'm sure, is going to throw somebody under the bus. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we got Knob Observations and Did It Happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to my multi-talented co-host.
I think I'd be excellent in childbirth.
David Aloysius Rothenberg.
Oh, glorious. What an open. Really, it had everything. It was like a full feature film, right? You laughed, you cried, you felt emotion. It had everything. I do feel. Now, do you want an honest assessment or do you want me just to sugarcoat everything here?
No, honest. Give me constructive criticism, please.
It's not even constructive. Like you've done nothing wrong. The only thing I'll say of that whole beautiful soliloquy of an open is I'm finding wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey to be kind of old and stale. That's me.
No, I think the people like it.
You think the people like it?
I think the people like it. I think on Thursdays they look forward to a little wait. I mean, Wendy's liked it. They ripped it right off. Their whole radio ad campaign now is wakey wakey.
Yeah, well.
Someone's listening.
People listen. I'm not saying they don't listen. I find it to be a tad bit stale. But otherwise, I think, you know, there's audio, which is very important. You can trust the speakers with the audio. There's comedy-laced drops in there. There's informative pieces of information. It's good. It's well done. It's well crafted. I'm sure it took you, if I put the over-under on 90 minutes, where would you go? Over-under 90 minutes.
I think you're slamming the over. Slamming the over.
So that little baby took you well over 1.5 hours.
Well, you got to realize too, right? I mean, it's not so much like what we're going to talk about on the show. I think we all have a pretty good idea what we're going to talk about. It's now sifting through the catalog of Dave Rothenberg drops.
Yeah.
And how I'm sprinkling these things in. Now I got to, all of a sudden at, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning, I got to text RJ. Hey, RJ, do me a solid. Dave mentioned multiple overtimes yesterday. I need you to cut that up. There's a lot of production that goes into this thing.
Here we go. Oh, God.
That's coming next week. I can guarantee
that's good.
I can guarantee that's coming next week.
That's good. That's really rich. That's good. Yeah, you know what? I wanted multiple overtimes. I stood by it. I'm happy they happened. I hope it meant less sleep for Santiago. The Knicks still got the win, and all is good in my world. All is good in my world this morning.
There was no reason for that game to go into multiple overtimes. None.
No, that was awful.
Zero.
I do not understand what they were doing at the end of regulation. How does that happen? First of all, I don't know your mindset. I'd like to know it, actually. Are you a foul up three closing seconds of a game guy?
Yes.
That's what you do. I don't know what they're doing on that final possession.
Well,
last
here's what I'll say. I think the fact that Tatum, almost like, let's go back to the DeSean Jackson punt return.
Ugh,
I'm not trying to listen. I'm not trying to stick the knife in you and twist it. What I'm saying is, did you not feel in the moment of that play? Because I'm gonna close your eyes. You can remember like it was yesterday that him dropping the ball actually screwed up the coverage,
sent the whole play into chaos. Yes,
I think the same thing happened yesterday. I think the fact that Tatum slipped down, it screwed up Burks, which all of a sudden now makes Fournier decide, okay, I got to come down and help out, which was a mistake.
Oh,
and then
God.
For some reason, the biggest mistake on that play was, I mean, what the hell is Kemba doing? I mean, down
I
the stretch,
know.
He was awful.
I don't know what any of them were doing on that play, really.
Well, all of a sudden, I mean, he collapses to the middle. You're up. I mean, you're up three. He collapses to the middle and just leaves Smart wide open at the three-point line.
Just run up and
give him
foul somebody. Just run up and grab somebody. It was awful. That being said, isn't it nice to be frustrated that your team had a moment where you're like head scratching what happened and they still found their way to a double overtime win in what was an electric Madison Square Garden on opening night?
No, it was huge. It was huge because, I mean, could you imagine how you would feel if they lost this game in overtime?
This would have been a morbid show. There would have been no eggs and bakey. It would have been like tofu and toast.
No, see, that's why you need the eggs and bacon. I mean, what's better than waking up at 5 a.m. to the smell of eggs and bacon cooking in the kitchen?
Bacon is really special,
nothing.
Isn't it?
Oh,
yeah. How much bacon do you think you could eat in one sitting? If bacon wasn't bad for you, how much do you think you could eat? A pound?
No, more than a pound.
More than a pound?
Way
of bacon?
More than a pound.
Two pounds.
I crush a pound of deli turkey in a sitting.
Yeah, that's delicious. 2 pounds of bacon?
Yeah, easy 2 pounds. At that
love
point,
bacon.
It's just a... making sure I don't get myself sick.
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
Because you give me that, nice, well-cooked, crisp piece of bacon.
Mm.
There's nothing better.
Now, I agree with you, but I will take the flip side of this, and I think you'll agree, that like ratty, fatty, like raw-ish piece of bacon is gross.
I hate it.
It's gross.
See, Mickey Rourke, my mom loves that, dude.
Oh.
We used to call her the seagull because she would come in and like take the scraps, like the fatty, like if you had a steak or a pork chop or bacon, she would come in and eat that stuff.
That's like
a grizzle.
That's like a dog.
Oh, dude, she loved it. Gross.
She doesn't eat the green stuff in the lobster, does she?
No, my Nana's boyfriend, Bobby, used to eat the tamale. He used to get a spoon. Oh, God. And he would he's like, oh, this is delicious. How come you guys don't eat it? I'm like, because it's gross.
Ugh. You're not supposed to eat it. It's disgusting. Anyhow, that was a win last night. I mean, that was a win. I'll tell you this. Offensively, this team is far and away better than what they were last year. Depth-wise, far and away better than they were last year. We said it, and it could be true. They could be a better team and have a lesser record, right? Not be 10, 12, 14 games over 500, but they're going to be a much better team this year than they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, I said that yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, it's one of the strengths of this team last year was to a certain degree their depth. It was that second unit, right? Like, I mean, when that second unit would come out, they would take advantage of the other team's second unit, and it would be a huge bonus for us. But, I mean, with injuries and everything else, I mean, you have to break that up, especially in the playoffs. We all saw how that turned out. But I'll tell you what, I mean, takeaways from yesterday is – Julius Randle is going to continue to get better, and he's only going to be helped out by the fact he's got Fournier and Kemba Walker.
Who's a good shooter, a really good shooter.
I mean, he got off to a good start, finished the first half well. There are some times, though, when he starts playing a little bit of hero ball, and it's just him one-on-one that I don't always love. But, I mean, I'm sure that's something that we'll address moving forward. But Obi Toppin last night, man.
He looks different, doesn't he?
I mean, up and down the court in transition. I mean, give him credit. They went small. Tibbs kind of cut the rotation there, get everyone kind of in a groove. We talked about Fournier making that mistake at the end of regulation, but then him to come out the way he did to start overtime, three straight threes like that.
Yep.
I mean, dude, I'll tell you what, that game had everything and anything you could ask for in a game.
It really did. I would have appreciated a little more defense from the Knicks at points last night, but overall, I mean, how can you beat up what they did? They beat Boston, right? You saw Obi Toppin, you saw Evan Fournier, you saw Julius Randle, Kemba Walker. I mean, guys played well.
Mitch looked good, too.
Offensively.
I thought Mitch looked good, too.
Yeah, he very good. He's athletic. I will always, and this is just, I don't know if it's me or this. You feel the same way, he always gets me nervous that an injury is like minutes away.
Yeah, I don't know how he couldn't. You know what I mean? That's been the most
He's
frustrating
so
part about him. Well, no, he put on weight. It's just he's on freak injuries, right? Like, I mean, last year he breaks his hand. Then all of a sudden he comes back, he breaks his foot. Like, those aren't, that's not soft, you know, soft tissue injuries. That's just kind of like freakish injuries. But hopefully he can avoid those. Derrick Rose clearly has some chemistry with Obi Toppin, by the way, on that pick and roll. And, I mean, you get Obi Toppin out on transition.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they play good D, they lock it down. You see what happens to that crowd, man. I mean, they start, you know, with that defense chant. And then the Knicks make a big stop and run down the floor with a dunk. That place goes crazy.
You can feel it, though. You feel the excitement with the Knicks now. Like, the Garden is going to lose their minds with this club. Because this is going to be a really fun team this year. And they're going to score points. And they have guys that can shoot. And they have depth. And they have the athleticism. I'm telling you, this city is going to... They fell in love with them last year. They're going to love them more this year.
Yeah, and you went against the Boston team. Now, Tatum wasn't great, but Jaylen Brown was...
Oh, God. And he wasn't even supposed to play in this game.
No, dude, he's just come back from COVID. I mean, yeah. He missed 10 days, barely practiced. He drops 20 in the first half. I mean, luckily, you slowed him down in the third quarter, and it just so happens that's when R.J. Barrett decided he wanted to participate in the third quarter because he did nothing in the first half.
He was good in that third quarter, though.
I hope we get away from that, though. That was his M.O. last year, wasn't it?
Where he's quiet, dormant in games.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't see him in the first half. Then all of a sudden, in second half, he would break out of it. But it's like it would be nice if he contributed a little bit more early in games.
100%. I can't watch 24 minutes of, like, is R.J. Barrett playing tonight? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there he is. There's no reason for that.
No, there's no reason at all. I mean, he's now in his third year. Like, they're asking, he's got to be, like, I know we brought in Kemba, but, R.J. Barrett has to be that guy. Like, he's got to be that second real option to Julius.
It's amazing. And listen, long term this year, they're offensively, they should be so much better. Because Kemba Walker, and now you're asking Derrick Rose to do less. Evan Fournier can score. Toppin's going to be a better version of himself. You still have Julius Randle, or you still have Alec Burks. Like, this team offensively, you'd hope you get to the playoffs and it's not, oh my God, they figured out a way to slow down Julius Randle and now they've beaten the Knicks. There's second and third options on this team now.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, is that second and third options that Julius can trust. Because, I mean, you saw it a bunch of times last night, right? I mean, Julius Randle essentially is going to be the guy that you want to shut down, right? Like, any game you go into, he's your best option. We saw the season he had last year, so let's not let this guy beat us. And I think there were times last year that he didn't necessarily trust the guys around him, so he would force it, right? Rather than, accept that double team and then dish it, he would try to, do it all by himself. And it would be, and I know it drove you crazy too. Like, okay, I'm gonna spin into the lane, pick up my dribble, jump, and then hope to God I can find someone to pass to. Usually ends up being a turnover.
I hate that.
But he's so effective, man. Like when he has his head up, sees the double team coming, and now he dishes it. I mean, there's wide open shots to be made.
And when there's guys that you feel good about taking those wide open shots, all of a sudden it's a completely different feel. Speaking of one of those guys, here's Tom Thibodeau on the new acquisition, Evan Fournier, and what he did last night.
We've seen him do that. That's who he is. Like, I never worried about him making shots. He's proven, throughout his career that's what he is. And I think the more that they played together, it was nice to see he and Julius build some chemistry together. And I think Kemba, the more he plays with that group, the more he's going to get into rhythm.
You know what else they should be able to do? They should be able to not have to play Julius Randle 46 minutes a game this year. Like, they should be able to give him a decent amount of rest every single night.
Well, the reason they didn't last year is because you couldn't trust Obi Toppin to take those minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, last year, I understood they didn't have a lot of scoring options. Obi Toppin was really, for the most part, unplayable last year. I don't think it's going to be like that this season. I think you're going to be able to play Randle 37, 38 minutes a night, which is still a lot of basketball, but at least you're not going to exhaust this guy every single game.
I'll tell you what, though, too. You're going to have to earn Tibbs' trust, right? Like, as a young player, you're going to have to earn his trust. And if you go out there, I mean, Quickley wasn't great yesterday, and, I mean, he didn't play much at all. But that kid, Jericho Sims,
mm-hmm.
is a freakish athlete, man.
Freakish athlete.
And he's a big boy. Like, that's a big body.
He has a lot of hair.
Yeah, he's got a nice set of nice lettuce on top of that thing. And then Tibbs with no mask. I love Tibbs with no mask on either because you can just see the disgust on his face.
He must have been nauseous
beside himself
over some of the defense last night.
Dude, he must have been beside himself with how the end of that fourth quarter played out.
Because that game was over.
It was over.
That game was over. Like, it took everything going the wrong way for that to go to overtime. And listen, they win double overtime. It's fun. The Garden's electric. But I mean, he must have been apoplectic about what happened at the end of regulation last night.
Well, just think about it, right? So, I mean, at the end of that game, I mean, Kemba, I mean, he imploded into that game. I mean, he had an inbounds play turnover. He made pass attempt, you know, for Fournier, right? And then Fournier hits a big three, pushes it back to six. And then, for some reason, Kemba tries to make the pass to Randle. That gets tipped away and stolen. They go down and score. Then he tries to make the pass to Fournier. That gets stolen. And then, the Jaylen Brown three from the logo.
Ugh.
I mean, come on. And then all of a sudden, Julius Randle goes down and hits two huge free throws to push it back to three.
And then you should have fouled.
And then, well, I think they were going to try to foul, but the fact that Tatum fell down, I think, screwed everything up.
And then my thought is always foul. And then after, I said, you know, they should have fouled. Oh, it's revisionist history for you. You wouldn't say that. No, you always foul. I want it to be known right now. That is my belief. That is my mindset. You always, always foul. I don't care what the situation. Closing seconds. Up three, you foul.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And you said that the entire time. I stand by.
Especially when the other team doesn't even have a timeout.
The play was to follow, though. You're correct. And I think they were, I mean, I'm hoping that that's what was supposed to happen. But because Tatum fell down, it screwed things up.
Now, that being said, they won. Not a big deal. Guys are probably a little more tired than they should be. Santiago, which is a good thing, got less sleep because I'm happy. I'm looking for him to be punished. And overall, I think the Knicks fan wakes up today and feels pretty good about things.
Well, give them tons of credit, though, man. I mean, just I get it. At the end of that, I mean, at the end of that game, I mean, for them to blow it the way that they did, but to bounce back in OT, especially Fournier, to bounce back the way he did in OT,
yep,
and find a way to pull that out. I mean, do you want to play double overtime? No, you don't. But that's a good test early in the season. That's first game of the season. To bounce back like that in overtime, which was great.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to tell the nation, everyone listening, podcasts and live radio and on the app, that RJ does a better job with observations and DHIF than you did?
Yeah, I admitted that last week.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's fantastic. I'm the one that beats the drum to get these guys on the radio more often. I love hearing from RJ and Santi.
I think he does a great job. RJ, do you think you stress when you do these segments the same way that Rick does?
Stress? No, but I'm not ready to say I'm better than Rick at it, though. I think that's a stretch. Some early success, maybe, but, you know, we'll see.
Raymond, be honest. Who's better, Rick or RJ at the observations and DHIF?
No, I think RJ is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a knock on Rick, though.
No, it's not a knock on Rick.
Clearly nice what job. You're trying for here.
No, I'm looking for
an idea,
guys.
Listen, that's fine. I come up with ideas. That's fine. And whoever wants to run with the idea runs with the idea.
I'm looking for transparency. I'm looking for honesty. That's what I'm looking for.
I would rather react to the stories anyway, in all honesty.
And then you don't have to deal with the pressure of coming up with the stories. Because we all know that having to find stories for you and for you to stress about it, it's not fun for anybody.
No, it's not that stressful. I mean, it's more work, absolutely. I just, I like when RJ and Santi are fully invested, fully involved.
And they do a great job. Three stars, we got observations, CMT, all of it.
You guys trolling each other, I love it.
Let's go to Brian and Wayne. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a great day. The Knicks win. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
A great gift before leaving for work. Thank you. I appreciate it.
How old? What number is this?
38.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. So last night, I'm wondering if Thibodeau is making Kemba and Fournier do some laps or some sprints this morning. I mean, I think it's, you know, they did everything possible to lose that game. No closing out. I mean, the Celtics, you know, didn't kill themselves either. But still, I mean, there's so many chances to just end it, and we got to go to double overtime. Luckily, I was able to put the kids to sleep, but come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, Fournier hits that three, pushes it to six, less than a minute left, and then Kemba has the turnovers. And then, I mean, Jaylen Brown hits a logo three, and then the last play happened.
But the logo three doesn't get me crazy. Like, the guy hits a 35-foot three, fine. Hats off to him. He was sensational. That kind of thing happens. But to allow them they didn't hit a contested three in the closing seconds. That was a wide open three that was knocked down. How do you give a wide open three when you're up three closing moments of regulation? That's awful.
Well, you have multiple players in the court make mistakes. I mean, Kemba was a disaster down the stretch. I mean, he was a disaster.
His decision-making was left a lot to be desired,
suspect.
Right?
Yeah, it was suspect. And then, no, and you're not wrong. I mean, that play drove everyone crazy. I mean, you saw that play. It sucked the life right out of that building.
If they lose that game last night, that play would just be dissected for hours this morning on the show.
Well, I'm telling you, the fact that Jason Tatum slipped down screwed things up. Because it was Burks on Tatum. Tatum slips down. Burks kind of loses his footing a little bit. Now Fournier decides he wants to double Tatum. And then I don't know what the hell Kemba was doing.
He's wandering around.
Well, no, he's decided rather than go out and like at least stand next to Marcus Smart, like he collapses down. Like he's going to try to like...
He's protecting for the two.
Yeah, which makes no sense at all.
No. Why you would even ever go inside the three-point arc in that kind of situation is beyond me.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Stand outside there on the arc, and then if they want to drive and take a layup, then have at it. But you are not going to get a look at a three.
Well,
no way,
clearly,
no how.
No, but clearly, I mean, you saw how he played down the stretch. Like, it, mentally, I don't know if it was nerves, whatever it was. He was not,
that doesn't
he was
make
not
sense,
locked
though.
In.
The guy is a longtime veteran. He played a good game. It's not like he came out of the tunnel and he was nervous. He should not, in that moment of the game, should not be having pangs of nerves.
No, you wouldn't imagine so. No, not as a veteran player. But I'll tell you what, I give them credit. Give Fournier credit. Because, I mean, to start that OT, I mean, three straight threes where no one could miss.
Thank God. Again, they lose that game last night, and all the you know, Garden's excited, and look at Toppin, and Rose, and Walker, and Randall, and all of it, out the window. Out the window if they lose that game last night.
But see, that's the beauty of winning, though, Dave. The beauty of winning.
It cures all. I know.
It cures everything. You don't spend time dissecting all the little plays, and why did we lose? You focus on the fact that, I mean, you won. R.J. Barrett had a great third quarter. Obi Toppin, that might have been his best game he's played as a Knick. Fournier, I mean, did what he did. Julius Randle was a stud. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of positives come out of last night, but that would have all been
ripped away.
Ripped away if they lost.
Justin in Queens. What's up, Justin? You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My wife was ready to hand me my blood pressure medication last night. Boy, oh, boy. And she's like, yo, Julius is your new Patrick Ewing. You know, love, hate. But couple of points I wanted to make. I think that it's frustrating how he's featured so much at the high post. And I think that had an impact on Kemba's decision, although Kemba played a horrible game. But we also have to pay attention closely to the way Julius is demanding the ball right then and there. I think that it takes a lot. I want to give Tibbs a lot of credit for taking Kemba out at that second OT and putting, you know, a better veteran in Derrick Rose that wouldn't make those decisions. But what's your guys' thoughts on, do you think Julius is demanding the ball too much down the stretch and our players are forcing to give it to him and they're not playing their game? Because that's what I saw in that game last night. And I think that if Kemba was allowed to maybe make some better decisions instead of forcing it to Julius, it would have been, I don't think he would have made those two turnovers. What's your thoughts?
I think turnovers was an issue yesterday. I mean, the fact is, you know, you love the 34, you know, 35 points from Julius, but the 7 turnovers is a problem. I mean, things like that can cost you games. I mean,
but
those Kemba turnovers late almost cost you games.
That's part of his game, right? I mean, listen, that's very infrequently do you look at a box score and look at turnovers and see one or two from Julius Randle. He turns the ball over a lot.
Yeah, but see, that's where he wants the ball because that, I mean, he's less likely to get doubled in that spot, right? Is they create space, he gets a chance to go one-on-one, and then he gets to make a decision. He's going to try to score the ball or he can dish it. He gets himself in trouble when he gets the ball down low and, you know, he tries that, the spin, doesn't see the double coming, or he picks up his dribble and then leaves his feet and then throws an errant pass.
Those are the
worst. There are times that frustrates you as a Knicks fan, absolutely.
It has to. When he holds on to the ball too long and he forces it or he tries to back you down forever and take an off-balance shot. Listen, he's got the ball a lot, and there are moments where he's frustrating. But overall, there's a lot more positive than negative with Julius Randle.
And it's game one, too, right? I mean, Kemba's new to this team. So, I mean, as a point guard, you're trying to figure out, you know, where your guys like to shoot from and all these different things. So it's going to take a minute for them to get comfortable with each other.
Yeah. Overall, listen, you won the game. You're 1-0. You have two very winnable games. You like what this team is, and there's a lot of excitement around them. NHL's back on ESPN. Don't miss our very own Rick DiPietro on the coverage all season long. You can find your favorite team streaming on ESPN Plus this season, including the Bruins and the red-hot Buffalo Sabres tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Again, that's the NHL streaming on ESPN+. Subscribe now. So I know I've asked you, when do you actually start your hockey coverage?
End of October. I think October...
Well, next week is the last week of October.
Yeah, that's it. It's next week.
But we have a day, or we don't actually
know the 29th.
Day? The 29th. So next Friday.
Next Friday. Big haircut set up for today. Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's very exciting. Do you know your assignment?
Yeah, I'm going to be in the studio. That's my assignment.
So you're not covering one game. You're kind of like every game roundtable?
Well, I think the game that we're doing is Detroit, Florida.
So it's Detroit, Florida. You'll go to intermission. They'll come back, and you guys will dissect that and go around the league a little bit.
I would imagine so, yeah. Do some nice highlights. Chop it up.
You think you'll be nervous?
Do I think I'll be nervous? Probably not. Maybe a little bit. Just initially. More excited than nervous.
And it's you, Tortorella?
Me and Torch, yeah.
And that's it? Just the two of you?
No, we have a host.
Okay. So you won't host anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
I could, but I no.
Do they baby you there as well in the hockey
Probably.
Coverage?
Yeah, yeah. It's not my... The hosting thing, I don't think, is my lane.
Uh-huh. Will there be a read you do, or no, they won't give you a read?
No. Are you kidding me? No chance.
No.
Television
read? There's a read.
No.
Don't give it to Rick. He's the delicate genius.
I will say this. To give myself a little credit,
mm-hmm.
When I was doing Loudmouse with Carlin, little did I realize that when you do that show, you're responsible for typing whatever you want to read into the teleprompter.
So you I was did doing your own typing? Myself.
Oh, yeah. I did my own typing.
Really?
And I read right off the teleprompter. Oh, yeah. It's kicking the topics.
Look at you.
I know.
Were you doing reads?
No, we didn't have reads in that show, no.
Okay.
I was reading from the teleprompter, though.
Okay. A man of many talents. RJ Santilla will now lead point on a little segment we like to call Knobservations.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Yes, back for an observation. So we'll get right into it. You guys were just talking about Rick, who you can find across the ESPN family of networks, platforms, ESPN+. Something else that's on ESPN+, and we teased this a little while ago, is a truly just gut-wrenching, but a well-told story on ESPN+ involving Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah, and he's 60, as
he's
it would
60,
be.
He's 60, yes.
Yep.
You'll find it all over the family of networks, as I said. And it's a story, a love story. Randell McCoy, he's the son of a single mom who died when he was 8, and Brianna, who is Pat's daughter. Their story is incredible. I highly suggest you stream it on ESPN+. Plus, if you don't have it, subscribe, all that good stuff. We spoke with Pat, a lengthy conversation, but a great one. And you can find it on our podcast feed. And if you don't subscribe to that, do that too. A lot to do. I hope everyone's taking notes. So here's a snippet of what you would find. This is from our very own Dave and Mr. LaFontaine.
Randell, I can tell you, he is an amazing football player. If you watch him, and he's a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. I've always been a
Oh, for God's sakes. Come on, Pat. I can't get away from it with the Cowboys and these people.
Sorry, Dave.
You made poor Pat LaFontaine apologize in the middle of a heartfelt moment.
Listen, it was a great conversation. I love Pat LaFontaine. He was a great Islander, great Ranger, but I'm sick of it. And I'm not going to stand by and have these fraud Cowboys fans pop out of the woodwork. I know that the name of the E60 is Love Story, and it's about Pat's daughter and this gentleman who's a Cowboys fan, Randell, but I'm not going to sit by and allow it. So, yes, I called him out, and I do it again.
This guy has no human emotion, RJ. You understand what's happening here? Like, Pat's getting choked up answering questions. I'm getting choked up asking questions.
You started to well up during the conversation. There was one question you asked. You're like, Pat, let me ask you.
I got emotional because I've seen it. It wrenches at your heart.
And I understand.
This animal is interrupting poor Pat trying to answer this question with this Cowboys knowledge.
Well, why did he throw that in there?
Poor Pat has to do a double apology. He was so taken aback, he didn't know how to act.
No, he knew that.
I had to apologize to him on the phone after.
No, he knew it. He knew that my son-in-law is a Cowboys fan, and for that, I will apologize. And I would do it again. And I will do it again. Get him back on the phone. Tell me again that his son-in-law is a Cowboys fan. I'll do it again.
You know, it's possible. He was very complimentary before the interview of the both of you. Likes the show, follows the show. He might be listening now, and I apologize, Pat, on behalf of Dave.
I did nothing wrong.
I still apologize.
He told me he's done listening. I talked to him yesterday. He said he's offended.
No. He said he's a tremendous fan. He loves the show.
Oh.
He says the show is popping. He said there's buzz all over the place. He talks to his buddies. They think the show is great.
He might love the show a little bit less now.
No. Why? See, because I'm honest? Because Randell is a Cowboys fan? The guy grew up in on Long Island, like Northport. He is, I mean, the frauds! Hey, you're a loser.
All right. So I take you back to Sunday. Aaron Rodgers says this. He's talking to the fans in Chicago at Soldier Field after he ran a touchdown in to put the game away. So Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, and he was asked about the blowback he's received from many in Chicago, including a former and notable Bear.
I saw Olin Krutz said he wanted to punch me in the face. look, I think that is to say, and I don't know Olin, and I respect him. He played in the league for a long time. But are we getting that soft as a society that we can't have worth now? I mean, you know, somebody can pay for a ticket and say whatever the hell they want, which I think they should be able to. That's fine. But the one time you say something back to them, that gets caught on a hot mic, which, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that gets said from time to time. Now it's that, you know, I've disrespected, you know, an entire city and organization and my own organization.
I'd love some blowback. But I will say this, though. The other thing that, I mean, that was obviously, I mean, the championship belt and everything else, though. So in that Pat McAfee interview, which I'm so happy he's doing this because he says something interesting every week. He said that felt like it was going to be his last. The reason he reacted that way because it felt like it was going to be his last game at Soldier Field.
I don't have a problem with what he did at all.
No, I don't either. But I mean, how about that, though? If you're a Packers fan, though, forget what he said because he owns them. He does. It's not. It's fact. It's factual. He owns the Bears. He lifted his head up. Everyone's giving him the birds. I own you. Great. Fine. I loved it. But if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, why'd you react that way? Why were you so emotional? Because it felt like it was going to be my last time there. Well, what does that mean?
Well, I think you know what it means. He's done.
That's the story.
He's not going back to Green Bay. But people, he's right. People are so soft. Give me a break. Punch you right in the face. What did the guy do? He didn't do anything terrible. They're giving him the finger in the end zone, and he says, I own you. And you know what? He does. They can't stop him. They've never been able to stop him.
I don't think Olin Krutz would punch him in the face if he was given the opportunity. I don't think he'd do it.
He might.
Yeah, maybe. He's a scary
guy. Pat LaFontaine would punch Dave right in the face.
Why?
He told me he hates you. Listen, that's what he said.
You're so full of it.
Tom Brady was also making the rounds. He was chatting with his buddy, Jim Gray, on the Let's Go podcast. And they were talking about Rodgers claiming to have ownership of Soldier Field. And Jim asked Rodgers about whether or not he wanted to claim ownership of the city of Buffalo or perhaps New York, given his success in those cities.
Have you staked a claim on Buffalo yet?
Not yet. Nope. I want to settle for a few things less than that. I'm cool with owning a few, just a few lucky autographs. That's what I'm the owner of.
How about possibly New York City? You're 30-8 against the Jets.
Oh, no, I'll just take the color green. I don't need the Jets. I'll just own the color green. I think that's a little bit better.
Oh.
That makes me
sick. The guy's in the
Come
NFC
on, Jim.
Now.
Oh, Rick. You can't say that about the Giants. It's the one thing we got going for us.
Come on, Jim. Man, have some respect as a journalist, man. Stop, please. Embarrassing yourself.
Right down the middle. Right down
Slurping
the middle.
On it.
I know you guys have a couple bucks laying around. Perhaps you'd like to buy Ben Simmons' house. NBC 10 in Philadelphia reports Simmons has put his South Jersey home on the market for a cool $5 million.
Ooh.
And he did so only hours after he was kicked out of practice and suspended for a game by Doc Rivers for refusing to engage in a drill and, as Rick cited, practicing with a cell phone in his pocket.
Which is amazing.
He was expecting a call.
Maybe Carlin will buy it so he can move further away from the city.
Carlin lives very far away.
He showed up at Tim McCarthy's golf tournament, and he couldn't play because he had a show. I'm like, oh, that's great. You showed up. You going to play? He's like, no, I can't. I got to drive home and do my show. I was like, how long did it take you to get here? He's like, oh, 2 hours.
Yeah. He lives like two. I mean, why? It's not like he has kids that he doesn't want to take out of the district. Move closer.
Very. It's a luxurious.
Lives 2 hours from their job.
It's a luxurious estate, though.
It must be.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants.
Things are going well. And,
who's advising him with how he's handling this?
Yeah, Kim Kardashian, probably.
That's why
he was dating. You know, he was dating Kendall, not Kim.
Well, I know, but Kim is probably. You know, she's like the mother hen. She's probably telling
now,
him what
you
to
know,
do.
Kendall's hot and heavy with Booker.
Devin Booker.
Oh yeah,
that's
nice.
Right. That's right.
And then one of them is with Travis Barker
Courtney.
Now, right?
Yeah, Courtney. Engaged. Yeah.
Engaged.
That's very big. Exciting. That's big.
And Lord never been happier.
Just,
I'm reading.
Oh, Lord Disick
yeah,
is
very
just
exciting.
All right, Raymond.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
A man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Alrighty. So we set the scene here. Unfortunately, but there's a woman and her boyfriend. Things have gone poorly. They're in an argument.
Nothing will ever stop the guy that was looking for himself at a search party.
Did you hear Greeny tell that story too?
Yeah, no. Weeks later.
Of course, he stole it from us. Of course.
No, he didn't steal it. He
borrowed it.
That's okay.
It was weeks later, RJ. Weeks.
We have correspondents all over the place working for DF, all over the nation and the world. So there's a woman, unfortunately, and her boyfriend, and they've found themselves involved in a dispute. The woman grabs a kitchen knife
and
stabs the man.
Oh no.
So the man is okay. He's recovering. That's not the story. So the woman is leaving her arraignment. She's being arraigned for second degree assault. And you know, a lot of times in these situations people want to tell their side of the story. So she goes to social media to tell her side of the story as to what's gone wrong. Because a lot of people, you know, friends, family, whoever, might be expecting such a thing, right? Her message, as opposed to what she may have done or not done or whatever, was instead to tell people to subscribe to her OnlyFans account.
She used it as a promotional vehicle.
Yeah, she rode the wave of momentum to push people to her OnlyFans, which, if you're unfamiliar, has nothing to do with crime or really anything, and features some things that are not safe for work, as people would say. So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
She's very proud of that account. What do you think?
I'm into an OnlyFans page, maybe.
Let's get that up and running.
What do I got to do? Just like walk around like semi-naked in it?
Yeah, you got to do things though.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a request line.
Technically, you don't have to.
I don't have to do anything, do I?
You just can just request people pay you for anything, honestly.
I could do my origami tricks. The guys in the locker room used to
love
that.
Nobody wants to see origami tricks on the site.
Who doesn't want to see the chicken breast? I'll show you right now. It'll change your life.
I'm all set.
You want the squirrel, the flying squirrel?
This is interesting. Florida. Does sound.
I don't think I'm leaning towards. I don't think it's Florida. I'll go first. I don't think it's Florida.
All right. You feel very confident. Sound very confident. I will agree with you, but I'm not at the same level of confidence as you.
Okay, Raymond.
I feel not Florida. I feel pretty confident in it, actually.
I've yet to fool you guys, and I still have not. That happened right in our backyard here in Manhattan.
Oh,
I would not have guessed Manhattan.
A local.
Dave's probably a subscriber. You should have asked him.
What's her name?
Oh, my.
I can find it for you. At Rothenberg ESPN, you'll see in the chat line later on her OnlyFans.
Yeah, I'm sure she does great work. If you tell me your name, I can tell you I can tell you the year.
And that is DHF and Observations.
All right, very, very well done. I'm sure she does phenomenal work.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
What an opener at the Garden. A thriller in two overtimes. Knicks 138, the Celtics 134.
That was a win last night.
Fournier fakes, sets himself, three-pointer. Bang! Evan Fournier from downtown.
town.
That's who he is. He's proven throughout his career that that's what he is.
I'm just very happy. For the first one at home, towards the end, it was really just mental.
The Knicks are 1-0 after 58 minutes of terrific basketball at the world's most famous arena.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
And what a win. What a sensational win for the Knicks. Double overtime, but no such thing as a bad win, right? You had that moment last night when they hit the three at the end. Who hit that? Marcus Smart hit that shot?
Marcus Smart.
Ugh.
Smart. Marcus Smart.
So you think to yourself, oh, God, here we go. Right, you had that thought of, oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah, of course, every Knicks fan did. I mean, you saw the building. Sucked the life right out of the building.
But you know what? At the end of the day, and that it really took, that was a terrible confluence of events to wind up in overtime. That game was over.
It was over, yeah, it was over. And then it wasn't. And then Randall hits the two free throws. Okay, it's it. It's over. We'll foul. We'll be done with this. And then no. Smart hits the three.
Yeah, leave him wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open.
Uncontested. Not sure what Kemba was doing down the stretch, but, I mean, R.J. Barrett, good defensive play there at the end of the first overtime. I mean, he was good defensively all night. Didn't do much offensively in the first half. Came out, had a really good third quarter. But, I mean, I said this earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. I mean, as a fan, that game had everything that you wanted. And as a team, I mean, you found a way to win that game.
Yeah, you were resilient. There's no doubt about it. But, and again, it doesn't bother me now. Like, if they would have lost, that actually might have been put my head on the pillow after that game, and I don't get a great night's sleep because of that. Like, that would have been, and only because of the way it went down. Like, if they would have gone out, lost last night, Brown scores 46, they lose by 10, you know what? Fine. But to have a game wrapped up and have it ripped out of your hands and lose, that would have probably been some sleepless time for me.
Of course it would have been. I mean, you, me, Knicks fans everywhere, Omar would have been destroyed. The players, I mean, as tired as Julius Randle sounded after that game. And by the way, there's a lot of things I love about this team, but, you know, teams coached by Tibbs, like, they give you everything they have, man. Like, we're not going to go out there and go through the motions. Like, they leave it all on the floor.
And
this
you know
is
what?
Game one.
Where the regular season can be, you know, minimized. There are teams that, oh, whatever, we don't care, right? You don't get that from the Knicks. You can't get that, and you don't get that, and it's a big deal.
No, you got it from the Nets. Right?
They mailed it in the other night.
Which is, I mean, for me, it's embarrassing, right? Like, this is the first game of the season. I mean, for the Knicks, you're at home. The place is electric. You could feel it at the start of that game. They got off to a quick start. Now, Mitch had that putback dunk. Place erupted. All the celebrities are there. And it was, I mean, that was an epic game, man. For game one, that was an epic game. I hated that it got into overtime, but the fact that it did and the first overtime started the way it did with, you know, threes raining everywhere. You couldn't lose that game, though, for this reason. There were way too many positive things that happened last night that a loss would have completely swept under the rug.
Because
we would have been focused on how things fell apart at the end.
You'd feel sick right now. If they would have lost that game, you would feel sick about it the morning after. But you know what? They didn't. And you're right. You said it earlier. The Giants would have lost that game. The Washington, you know, gets the second chance at a field goal and makes it. Or Atlanta goes on the drive down seven and scores two touchdowns in the whole game. But that's one of them. Like, bad teams find ways to lose. And good teams find ways to win. And it feels like the Knicks are approaching being a good team. And Thibodeau, they should have hired him years ago. But he's a good coach. And he gets them, like you said, to play every single game.
Well, he gets the best out of his players, too, right? Like, that's what you want to see. I mean, Julius Randle had his best season as a pro. What you saw from Obi Toppin yesterday, like, clearly the kid, and it wasn't, you know, Tibbs just trying to do the kid a solid on the K-Show saying he took 2 days off and then was in the gym every day. Like, you could tell the kid was in the gym every day. Like, he was a difference maker yesterday. When they went small, and he was, I mean, and you get a chance to see him go up and down the court in transition, the kind of athlete he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the best game for me. That was the best game I've seen him play as a Knick. But he flashed a lot last night.
No, he's a crazy athlete. And if you can get him into space, into the open court, you can see how dominant he is. The key for me with Toppin is going to be, what can he do when it's a grinded out game? What can he do in a big half-court situation? But when you get him into space and up and down the court, he's as good as anybody in the NBA.
Well, the biggest thing for me is, can you trust him? because you're going to need to trust him. Because, I mean, Julius Randle, we don't. The last thing we want to do is have him break down, wear down, because he's just asked to do too much.
But there's probably going to be games where he's not great, but last night was not one of those. You're right. He was really good.
Yeah, but I think for him, it's more like, I just said, you know, confidence from the coaching staff. It's his own confidence, too, because there are times during games, like he's a big dude, right? And, you know, there were times in that game where, you know, he has a chance to post up against a smaller defender, and you can just tell, like, he can't wait to get the ball out of his hands. Like, no, take advantage of that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, go score. But when you get him in the open floor, man,
it's scary.
The Knicks in the second half, when the Knicks lock down on defense and start getting, you know, turning balls over and can get out on the open floor and run, like, they are, I mean, they're fun to watch.
Then why don't we make that a drop?
Because that's not the take. I mean, that wasn't the overwhelming take of the show, was that they're fun to watch. Like, they start going up-tempo like that. I mean, that's one of the strengths of their team, is that.
Yeah, they're really athletic.
The Knicks are great.
I love watching this team. So why is that a drop? And then he says the same thing, and it's like, oh, what a brilliant analysis.
Right, I don't know.
It's 50-50.
That was another brilliant take. That kid, listen, Jericho Sims is a freakish athlete. What I like about this team, and clearly this was something that Leon Rose, Wes, Tibbs all sat down and discussed, and this is why you have to feel good about this front office and coach combination right now. They have a certain type of player mm-hmm. that they want on this team. And that's, they're going out and finding those players. You hear the word gym rat all the time. Like, these guys, they look like they all get along. Like, they enjoy being teammates. You saw that last year, too. And they all work their asses off. And, I mean, the proof is every time you turn this TV on, man. I'll never forget. We'd have conversations. We've been doing this together for a long time. It'd be like, you'd see one team in the first quarter, and then the second quarter would be a different team.
And you never knew what you were going to see from quarter to quarter.
Never.
Right.
Not even game to game. It was
quarter to quarter. They'd come out, they'd be up 10, then they'd be down 3, then they'd be up 7, then it would fall apart. You're right. There's consistency now.
Yeah, you're going to turn the television on. The team's going to work their you-know-what's off, and they're going to put them put themselves in a spot with a chance to win these games.
And Julius Randle has done a – because remember, they brought him in. And we watched him play his first year, and we were just like, God, I can't take it. Let's move on from this guy. He has not only transformed his game, he's a great leader, right? When the microphone goes to someone before the game to get the crowd ready, you want it to go to him. When there's someone you want to hear after the game, it's him. Like, he has gone from a guy that, dribble for 20 seconds and then post him up and take an 18-foot fadeaway to, you like him, he's a terrific player, and he is the leader on this team right now.
He's legitimately turned himself into a perennial all-star now.
Yes.
That's what he's turned himself into. And here's the other thing, too, that people need to take into account. The guy left like $80 million on the table, by the way, to stay here. He could have waited. And listen, someone offers you, over $100 million. Most people are going to take the security, right? This is a humongous deal. But he could have waited and bet on himself and made an extra $80 million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose not to.
I think he chose wisely. Let's go to Talam in Florida. Good morning, Talam. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
You're very excited about the Knicks.
Let's get these dubs. You see my Knicks? I told you. How you guys doing this morning?
Oh, he's happy.
I couldn't be better.
Yeah, listen, we're in a great mood.
That game for me, Talam, I don't know how you felt, like as dejected as I was that it went in overtime. Because we got the win, I mean, that game was, to say exciting was probably is an understatement. It had everything you wanted.
That was the big thing. It was so super excited. And it got to the point where when we went into second overtime, I actually became content. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually kind of satisfied. This game gave me, I'm a little mad.
Wait a minute. When it was hanging in the balance in the second overtime, you had a moment of, you know what? I feel good. This was a good performance, and they really fought their way through this game.
I felt satisfied that I got everything I wanted out of the game. I didn't get the dub yet, but I felt satisfied I got everything that I wanted from a game.
No, that is a horrendous take. How could you possibly say that? That the game is in the balance. You're tied in double overtime, and you put your feet up. You're like, you know what? I feel like I've gotten everything I could possibly want out of this game. That's a hideous take.
Oh, no, I think in the moment, though, he felt like, you know what? Like, as bad as the end of the fourth quarter was, like, we got through the first overtime. Like, this is worth staying up for. Like, this game has given me a little bit of everything. Now, that changes if you lose. I mean, if you lose, that completely goes out the window.
Right, but you can't have this moment of just clarity. You're like, oh, okay, things are good. No, you had to win the game. If they would have lost that game, I would have been sick about it.
I think he misspoke is what he did. Because okay. I think he felt like everyone that was watching that game, people that were tweeting about this game, like, you heard Mark Jackson, you heard Jeff Van Gundy.
If you didn't have a dog in the fight, it was phenomenal.
No, exactly. It was just, it was a great game.
Totally agree.
That's one of those, I'll tell you this too, and I know it's only game one, but, I mean, that was, that's a team building win right there, is what that is. It really is. I mean, you build confidence, like, that thing could have went sideways in a hurry, going into that first overtime with how the fourth quarter ended.
Yeah, you could have fallen apart, and then you fall down three. And then Fournier comes back and hits a three and gets red hot at the start of overtime.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this us? I guess it probably is, right?
I don't think you ever know, really. Sometimes it's commercial. You never know.
It could be. That's why I wait.
This
you
is me.
Santiago will be like, yeah, this
I
is you.
I believe in Knicks and their future.
Oh, God.
Watch them win and let Tibbs lead the way. Show them all the shooting they possess from outside.
Oh, God.
Play with a sense of pride.
It's so
to
bad.
Make it easier. Let this team's defense remind us how it used to be. Right. Fans have been searching for a hero.
Keep it going. Do not stop it.
RJ needs someone to look up to. Oh, we've never found anyone since Carmelo
now.
To
give
fulfill
me the boop.
Our needs. A lonely place to be. And so we learn to defend the three. I decided long
even the boop can't
ago,
stop it.
Who thought this was good when I sang it?
I do. Oh dear, is this good?
Because if I fail,
it's the best
or
part.
I succeed, he'll still tell security that I must leave.
And now a boop.
No matter if you're Rogue or Spike Lee, they'll still escort you out through gate C.
Santiago was begging to stop.
Enough. Too much.
Oh. I don't know. I here's what I think we do.
We only needed a quick sample.
Here's what I think we do. The morning after every Knicks win, we play that. And we just revel in the greatness of
that. I think I have to re-record it because you guys told me. The problem was I tried to sing it like legit at first and it sounded bad.
Legit?
Well, no, that wasn't the legit. That wasn't the legit one. Like, I really tried to sing it and it was awful. And then they told me, you guys said I should do it like Sexual Chocolate. And I tried it. And that's what that was.
I can't even tell what that was. My God, was that a treat.
Oh, my.
Still,
the accent.
All right, you know what?
It probably ended up better.
That's fine. Re-record it. Do what you need to do. I mean, just the exasperation that'll cause you and the stress that'll cause you would be worth it for me. Probably cause you hours and hours of sleeplessness.
He'll have a nervous breakdown. No.
Yeah, I know. That's fun. And then
it's
re-record
too bad
it.
You can't teach rhythm. That's a real problem.
Well, clearly. Clearly. So re-record it, and whatever you come up with, we will use as the mantra the next morning after the Knicks win.
See, I almost think, I mean, I know you guys think it's funny because I sound so bad, but the words are actually good. If we could get someone that could sing maybe to record it, but then it probably wouldn't be funny.
No, I think you doing it has to. Do it the best of your ability, and whatever that is what we'll roll with. But boy, that is special.
All right, here we go, Feather.
What is that little baby from? And then you're incorporating boops into it? Oh. A boops makes everything better.
The boop is a staple now.
Lot to do. D-hiff. What's the other thing we do?
an observation situation.
And observations, yes. D-hiff and observations. Nice.
Telltale little boop there tells you that was on his end.
I love that he says telltale little boops. Like, he's got the whole phraseology. Think about this man. What a genius, in fact, he is. There's a noise. He instantly names it and then has, like, here we go. Oh, God. Telltale little boops. Oh, my God. You guys are very funny. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Telltale little boops. Should we get to some calls about the Knicks? People are very excited.
That's all I want. I just want to call.
Let's go. Frank, Frankie in the Bronx. Frankie, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, you guys are fried. If you could be like this after every Knicks win, it's going to be a lot of fun. I enjoy watching you start my day. Look, long story short, Kemba's, I really don't know his game that much, but I'll tell you, his honeymoon period is going to be really short if he continues to freeze in the spotlight. His last 2 minutes of regulation.
You're not going
to
see that, Frank.
I'm out on that.
I've been watching this guy for years. He typically, he's good in the clutch moments. That's not what he is. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Those turnovers and not protecting the three-point line on the last shot of the regulation was abysmal. It's like textbook, eighth grade basketball.
It was gross. Yeah, it was gross.
But good win. Like I said, do what you can to win. I think that was Randall's comment in the post-game interview. It was a great win, and we beat the Celtics. I hate Boston. Thank you.
I think everybody does, right? So you beat
especially
Celtics.
When Jaylen Brown has that kind of game, too. You know what Oof. I mean?
Hey, and he was good from the jump last night. He was just exceptional.
You slowed him down in the third quarter, but I mean, he had 20 in the first half.
I think he had like 14 in the first quarter.
You know what's amazing, though, too? Because it's only game one, this won't be a conversation, but I mean, with all sports, right? Like, you always have... Like, you'll get done with your season, or you'll be towards the end of your season, you'll be battling for, like, seeding or whatever it is. It happens as a player, too. And you'll be a game up or a game back, or, you have to win this last game to get in. And you just naturally start going back in your mind, like, oh, man, if we only did that in that game, we would have won that game. We blew that game. That would have been the crappiest part about last night, too. It's like you want to start
terrible.
Game one is the game that you should have won that you blew.
And it's Boston. And that's one of the teams you look at and you think is going to be right there.
Which would have made, like, all the good stuff we saw last night would have went right out
but
the window.
But there are going to be games this year where they get away. Like, that you play 82 games, that happens. You just hope it happens minimally.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It happens every single season. It's just that I would rather it not happen, like you said. It's against Boston. It's your home opener.
Right. Let that happen against Sacramento. You don't want that to happen against Boston.
Yeah, when no one's paying attention, as opposed to last night when everyone was paying attention.
Everyone is watching that game. Now, 5G is here. But the big carriers want you to sign that pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And you can also get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Alex in Corona. Good morning, Alex. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. How you doing, pal?
Pretty good. So I just want to mention, I'll make it short and sweet. Great game yesterday. They should have really won that game in the regulation. I think they got too comfortable. Just want to get your feedback. If Chocolate continues to do what he does and RJ becomes a poor man's Kawhi Leonard, do you think they'll be able to be a third or fourth seed in the Eastern Conference? Thank you.
This season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yes. I don't know about this season.
If the Knicks reach their potential and Toppin is better and Barrett is better, yeah, I think they could be a top four seed in the East. Yes, I do.
Listen, from your lips to God's ears, but that's asking a lot.
I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not saying it's realistic, but if things all, I mean, if Mitchell Robinson is healthy and plays well, and listen, he's a tremendous athlete. He's a good rebounder, good shot blocker, runs the floor well. I don't expect him to be a top four seed, but if things pan out perfectly, could they be? Yeah, I think they could.
Yeah, they're a better team than they were last year, right? And I mean, what they did last year, no one expected that to happen. They finished fourth. Teams got better in the East. We all know that. Like, they're not, I don't care if everything goes perfectly, they're not as good as Milwaukee. If everything goes perfectly, they're not as good as Brooklyn. Who knows what the hell's happening in Philly with this whole Ben Simmons situation. But still, I mean, that's one of the better teams in the East.
I agree with you. Listen,
Miami got better.
Brooklyn is better. Miami is better. And who else is better? I mean, teams are better around the Eastern Conference.
No, but they're probably right in that. They're probably in the tier just below that with, like,
they're not in the elite tier.
No, they're not. But, I mean, Chicago improved this offseason. So they're a team you got to pay attention to.
But the Knicks could be better than Chicago. I think the teams that are better than the Knicks, Milwaukee, clearly better. Brooklyn, clearly better. Philly's probably better, too. But, I mean, who knows what happens with Philadelphia?
No, that's the thing. I mean, that's just because of, I mean, normally you would say, yeah, Philadelphia is definitely better, but. And then Atlanta's there. I mean, Atlanta's team lost to last year.
I think more talent. Atlanta's probably more talented, but would you be stunned if the Knicks had a better record than Atlanta this season?
Here's the thing, though. This is what people need to understand. It's, for me, it's less about being focused on seeding and more being focused on once we do, because I feel like this is going to be a playoff team, once we do get in that moment, have we figured it out to the point where we don't see what we saw last season in the postseason? Because you know the team's going to show up in the regular season. We won't be one of the teams in the NBA that load manage and just kind of, you know, take things for granted and we're just worried about qualifying for the postseason. So maybe we surprise people because we take all 82 real serious and we try to take advantage of the regular season.
Well, you know that's what the coach is going to do.
I know.
This coach is not going to mail in games.
Yep, I feel good about that. But I'm sure that Tibbs' expectation is more, his expectations are higher than just making the postseason. He wants to take that next step, which would mean, you know, finding a way to win a first-round playoff series.
So is that the next step, is going into the second round?
Yeah, I think naturally that has to be the next step.
Because I can't envision the next step being conference finals.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, again, you never know what's going to happen. But no, I think a good next step would be finding a way to win that first-round playoff series. And listen, seeding helps that, right? Like, the higher you finish, the better that first-round matchup's going to be for you.
Yeah, you can't be a 7, right? You can't take on Milwaukee in the first round. That's just not, it's not doable. So you have to be a 3 through 6.
Yeah, we both said that we felt like they're probably somewhere around 6, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's go to Ray in Queens. Good morning, Ray. You're on 98.7.
Hey, morning, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. After yesterday's show, when Dave said about 7 overtimes to Rick, after the second overtime, I was like, oh, man, this is really going to happen. But I just want to get your take on Fournier. I know that when he was in Orlando, he used to light us up all the time. It's great that he's on our team this time. But do you think that his lack of defense outweighs his offensive proficiency, given the fact that he lit it up in overtime, but he was kind of the reason why we actually had to go into overtime?
Well, no, it was him and Kemba. It was a combination of the both. I mean, he made a bad decision on that last play, but, I mean, Kemba did us no favors down the stretch. Here's the thing, is a lot of playing good defense is want to. And if you want to play for Tibbs, you're going to have to want to play defense.
There is no way that he's going to be playing bad defense this year for this coach. It's just not going to happen.
No, it may not be lockdown, shutdown, no, Gary Payton defense, but
you're not going to get Kawhi Leonard, but he's going to put effort forward. He's going to try, and he's going to be held accountable. And right there, it's going to be a better version of defense from Evan Fournier than you've probably seen.
Yeah, and other guys will be forced to step up. Like, R.J. Barrett's going to have to play great defense. Like, someone's going to have to make up for the fact that we have no more Reggie Bullock, who's one of our lockdown defenders. And keeping Mitchell Robinson healthy, because as good as Taj and Nerlens were last year, neither of them by themselves are complete players. You know what I mean? Like, Nerlens protecting the rim is great, but he's not the kind of rebounder that Taj is.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
like,
of course,
Mitch is, you know, both of those guys combined. You see what kind of athlete he is.
If you had another child, would you name him Nerlens?
No.
Why?
I don't, because I wouldn't.
Nerlens DiPietro?
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
Has a certain something to it.
I used to hit it with a wooden spoon. A little je ne sais quoi?
I think so.
Nerlens, you know how long it takes me to come up with names. I mean, it takes years.
I think I just solved your problem.
I don't see a child in the near future.
Yeah, but at some point.
No, never.
But at some point. You know what? No. It'll be great conversation at the dinner party.
I'll get a double vasectomy if that's possible. We're done. It's a wrap.
No. You say that now, but you have so much love to give.
I have tons of love, and I'll give all that love to my grandchildren. I may do it myself. I may actually go in the back of the pickup truck, get the tool belt out, and do it myself.
Well, you do have the proper training, right? You are a certified moil.
Yeah, that's part of being ordained.
So, I mean, you just...
Yeah,
it's
but
just
I'm not looking to trim a little off the top. I got to get... I mean, this
it's
is
just pipes.
Stuff.
It's just pipes.
So I go into my plumbing stuff, you think?
Yeah, you take out the plumbing equipment and you go down there, a little ding, 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 boom, 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 a little boop, and then you're done.
Yeah, but I think there's some like burning involved. Like, there's some things
there you
need
go.
To...
There you go.
Cauterize some stuff.
Ah.
Yeah, this is an intensive process. I'm going to... I told you, I'm trying to take Winthrop. Winthrop doesn't want to go with me.
Winthrop should go. He should. He, I mean, please. He should have.
He's
like
having
a,
another
a
one,
week.
You know.
What?
That's happening. It's not happening.
Like he's not officially having another one now.
No, no. I think it's physically impossible right now, but
our assistant program director for sport has children.
He's the Sean Kemp of radio is what
he is. He's a machine.
Like if John Winthrop walked into a room and a woman looked at him and made eye contact, pregnant.
That's right. You're just
like
done.
If you're ovulating near John Winthrop, pregnant.
Yes. And you'll hear a noise. You'll hear like a boop, and then all of a sudden you'll know that's happened. Yeah, there you
that's
go.
Exactly right. Like that's your egg being penetrated by John Winthrop's eyes.
That's right. Now all of a sudden you don't even know it. And just from him looking at you in the eyes, you are now pregnant.
Mom, who's my dad? Not sure. Made eye contact with this guy.
I heard a boop at a Christmas party one time. I think it might be John Winthrop. APD 98.7 ESPN. Not 100% sure, though. How much baseball did you watch yesterday? I mean, silly to ask you because you watch everything. But
no, I watched quite a bit. I got some – dude, I have a crazy stat for you, by the way, that I wanted to sprinkle into the show because I paid attention to it. How about this? So, I mean, Atlanta was written off pretty much, right? Like you lose, Ozuna's gone.
They lost their best player, yeah.
Yeah, Acuna gone.
Soroka
so they went
gone.
Completely. They completely remade their outfield, right?
So and this is without Soler.
Exactly right. But he was one of the names. I mean, he was one of the guys that they picked up. So this is amazing to me. So you got Duvall, Peterson, Rosario, and now they don't have Soler right now. But that's the outfield that they remade in 101 plate appearances this postseason. They're hitting a combined 341 with homers and 21 RBIs. I mean, that's talk about that. That right there is the definition of doing work at the
deadline.
That's
amazing. Yeah, and you know what? To their credit, too, their bullpen has been lights out.
And their starting pitching's been good.
I know. But they go with the bullpen day yesterday, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, where are we at now?
Smiley was sensational.
Dude, it's amazing where baseball has gone now. We're in the biggest moments of your season. You're going with bullpen games.
So, you know, last year, Dodgers come back from down 3-1. I don't know about this year, though. Like Atlanta looks like the better team. I can't envision that Justin Turner's going to come back the way it looks.
No, he's
like
done. They said he's done.
They already said he's done?
Yeah, Pujols is going to play first.
So, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Dodgers, hopefully they can win tonight to at least force a game six down in Atlanta on Saturday. But it's hard to envision. And now, we joke with the Yankees fan about how you're going to have either Houston or Boston in the World Series. We're one game away from having the Braves in the World Series.
Yeah, which makes me sick.
You're going to have to root for Houston.
I'm not rooting for anyone.
You will root for Houston. You will root for Houston.
I can't stand... I like Dusty Baker. I shouldn't say I like Dusty Baker. But
then there you go.
I used to like that team a lot. And now how they handled that whole situation just was...
You want the Braves to win the World Series?
No.
Okay, then you'll root for Houston.
Freddie Freeman seems like a good guy.
I'm sure he's a great guy. You see, there's a play.
I got
bigger issues on the Astros.
I got bigger issues with the Mets. These reports coming up about the Mets, it's
they don't know what they're doing.
Now we might hire a manager before we find a team president. What are we
doing? They're talking about signing Baez to a long-term deal. How could you do that before you have a GM?
Why does no one want the job?
Because I mean, and they could pay so much money to that guy.
So there has to be something else. Like the people don't like Steve Cohen or Sandy Alderson. There's something have to be wrong. I mean, the team's not that bad where you feel like you're going to have to come in and do that much.
No, I don't think they're that far away. So think about this. The team's not bad. They were competitive through two-thirds of the season and then lost the best pitcher in the world, right? And then Syndergaard comes back. So you have to think if they're healthy, their pitching is good. And you have an owner who has more money than anybody else that can buy whatever he wants. And nobody's interested in even sitting down and talking about the job?
No, and on top of it now, the guy that we don't want making the decisions feels like he's going to be the one that makes some of these decisions now.
He's never going to go away. You know, I was fine. I like Sandy. I thought he added like a sense of stability. I'm over that.
Yeah, I think we're all past that at this point. Yeah, look. Like I don't need him making these big time decisions right now. Like you're trying to find a president, the last thing you do is hire a manager before you find the president.
But when are they going to hire a president, a GM?
Nobody, they can't get interviews, Dave. No one wants the job.
The whole thing is very shady. It makes
you
no
had
Heim
Bloom in the building and he wanted the job, and you had stupid Brody Van Wagenen.
No, that
decided
was
not to do it
because the Wilpons wanted to win immediately, and that's what they did. Now you could save big when you bundle your auto, your home, your motorcycle, your RV, or your boat. Visit Progressive. NickSwindell.com and do that today. And with you every single mile on the road to greatness. Who is it? Goodyear. More driven. All right, here we go, Santa. You've been good today. 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars.
Oh, no, I'm actually too tired to do 3 stars. No, I'm just kidding.
Number 3.
Dave, there's no excuse for you. You don't know staples that are part of this show for long, long, long time running.
Lot to do. DHIF. What's the other thing we do at 6:45?
Oh, that's an observation situation.
And observations, yes. DHIF and observations.
Yes, it's observations, and our own RJ Santillo does a fantastic job, might I add.
I had a moment where I forgot. I have a lot on my plate. Sure. Excoriate me. Go ahead.
Number 2.
Yeah, let's give it all to the New York Knicks.
I can't wait to go home and lay in the bed, I swear. I don't even know if I'm hungry enough to eat. I'm so tired to play. I don't know what I played, but first game back. Goodness, I'm tired. We got it done. We got it done.
Julius Randle, I could not agree with you more.
Number 1.
And number 1. Telltale little boop there tells you that was on his end.
Telltale little boop.
I've yet to hear you guys come up with a better explanation for the word. So
that's what it is. There is no more explanation. That's what it is. It was meant to be that.
A boop. If you're on the subway and you hear like that little thing, you'd be like, "What is that?" That was a boop. That's what it now forever will be known as, the boop. It is now.
I accidentally squeezed out a fart next to the cat. What was that? It's a boop.
That's a boop. Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and
the boopers.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.